This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further in Genesis, the book of beginnings, with the narrow escape, the overthrow, the aftermath, Abimelech's dream, and Abimelech confronts Abraham. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
In the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God shall come.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Make his path straight.
Shower, O heavens, from above. And let the skies rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation may sprout forth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
In the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which you will be called, the Lord is our righteousness.
He shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land.
This is the name by which you will be called, the Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which you will be called, the Lord God's righteousness.
You shall have no other gods.
You shall not disuse the name of the Lord your God.
Small Catechism, page 322. What is the first article?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean?
Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This three-part catechetical sermon series on the Apostles' Creed begins with a focus on the first article, the Father and creation, based upon our reading from 1 Corinthians 8. The reality of the Holy Trinity, that the one and only God has revealed himself to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one of the central teachings of the Scriptures and also one of the great mysteries of the Christian faith. That the one God is also three persons is beyond our understanding or comprehension. We receive what we know about the Trinity by revelation, and we believe it by Spirit-given faith. If I were given the assignment to write a three-volume work on the Trinity, with a volume dedicated to each person and work of each and the work of each person, volume one would be very brief. One page, one sentence. See volume two on the Son. I say this not because there is a lack of revelation of the Father in the Scriptures, but because the Father is revealed in the very words and deeds of the Son, both the pre-incarnate Son and especially the incarnate flesh and blood, Jesus. It is Jesus in the Gospels who reveals the reality of God as the loving Father who provides for all of our needs. Indeed, one thing that Jesus makes very clear, especially through the testimony of the evangelist John, is that when we hear and see the Son in the Scriptures, we are hearing and seeing the Father himself. Yes, for the Son hears what the Father speaks and says those very words. The Son sees what the Father is doing in the union between the Father and the Son, and the Son does those very works. As Jesus answered Philip's request, after seeing him for almost three years of earthly ministry, and Philip asked him, "Show us the Father, that'll be enough." So also, Jesus reminds us this morning, he who has seen me has seen the Father. One of the most important statements about the Father and his work of creation in all of the epistles of the Apostle Paul is the brief section from 1 Corinthians that was just read. That wasn't his purpose to go on an exposition about the Father and his relationship with the Son and the doctrine of creation. He was addressing a problem that the Corinthians had. All the idols that were there and all the food that had been offered to idols. And so in the midst of addressing this challenge in the idolatrous context of this young congregation that Paul had founded in Corinth, he knew that around them there was all sorts of testimony to these false gods. When I visited Corinth last summer, I saw it, the huge temple to Apollos that dominated the city center. And then on the Acropolis, overlooking this huge city of Corinth, there are multiple temples. Temples to the remains of temples to Asclepius, to Hermes, to Aphrodite, to Poseidon, Zeus, and Hera. The ancient historian Strabo, writing at the end of the first century BC, calls our attention to the temple to Aphrodite and the sexual practices of the temple prostitutes in the name of this false goddess of love. The idolatrous worship going on in our cities may not be on display in particular buildings, such as those in Corinth, but it is often displayed on our large screen TVs and the small screens of our computers in every home. In this season of Advent, John the Baptist's voice rings out again with clarity, repent, believe in the gospel, and worship alone the one true God who is creator of all things. In addressing the problem of eating food sacrificed to idols in Corinth, Paul gives us a terse and profound exposition of the major confession of Israel, the Shema of Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. Echad. Notice what Paul writes to the Corinthians. Therefore, as to eating food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and there is no God but one. For although there are maybe so-called gods in heaven and on earth, as indeed there are many so-called gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Against all of the false gods that filled the lives of these ancient Corinthians and are present in our lives today, against all false worship of the creation rather than the creator, Paul proclaims the reality that there is only one God who is creator of all creation. He teaches that this one God is the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. He also teaches that the one Lord is the Son, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. In Greek, there are 13 words centered around the Father, 13 words centered around the Son, in perfect parallelism. And another thing that Paul probably had in mind, even though the Corinthians wouldn't have realized it, is that the numerical value of Echad, the climactic word of the Shema, one, is 13. Yes, the Father is the creator of all things, but he creates through the Son, and together with the Holy Spirit, they are the one and only true God. Because of the idolatry that grows from worshiping the creation rather than the creator, the testimony to God as creator is absolutely foundational from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22 for our Christian confession and our Christian worship. This is also clear from the first article of the Apostles' Creed that we just confessed, when we confess God to be the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Rather than making idols of the creation around us, Luther reminds us in his explanation that our bodies and our senses, our clothing and shoes, our spouse and children, our land and home, our food and drink, all of these created things are gracious gifts of our loving Father to the children he created in his own image. How do we know that he does this work of creation and sustaining creation purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy? Notice I pulled that old translation. It's only in the more recent translation, but that purely sticks in my mind from my childhood. How do we know that he does this purely or only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy? If you want to know the heart of your heavenly Father, you need only look at the Son through whom you were created, and especially the Father's giving of that dearly beloved only begotten Son to redeem you and all of creation corrupted by mankind's fall into sin. If you want to know the heart of your Heavenly Father, look to the very words and deeds of His Son. If you want to know the heart of your Heavenly Father, look to the Son who eternally bears in His body, in His wounds, the testimony to the payment for your sin, the testimony to the Father's goodness and mercy for you. These tell you the heart of your Heavenly Father for you and for all of His creation is goodness and mercy and love without any merit or worthiness in you, in me, poor miserable sinners. So what is our response to such fatherly, divine goodness and mercy in this new church year that has just begun, in this season of Advent? To thank and to praise, to serve and obey Him, to reject the idols of this world by having this one God and Lord reign alone in our lives and in our hearts. And even to pray that beautiful prayer of Luther's Christmas hymn with childlike faith. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, a quiet chamber set apart for you to dwell within my heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart, with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and the orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and come that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank
you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you will keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For it is your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen. Amen.